Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. This is a day that the Lord our God has made, and His return is soon and even imminent. You know, the imminent return of the Lord is grace and mercy. The Lord told me just last night something that I recently learned, but He told me point blank that the rapture of the church is not to get us, is not to rescue us from the Antichrist, but it's to get us out of His way. In other words, I'll say that another way. The rapture is not to get us out of the path of the Antichrist, but it's to get us out of God's way when He comes to judge the earth. Better said, He already gave us countermeasures against the Antichrist, for which I'm very grateful. But first, He gave us authority, positionally we have it, but we have to learn to walk in it. Babies have legs, but they got to learn to walk. They have arms, but they have to learn to reach. They have ears, but they have to learn language. We have authority, and we have to learn to use it. And we have authority over Satan. It don't get any simpler as that. When we shut Satan down, Satan is shut down. Now, God recognizes the covenant. Like I said in the Sunday school this week, wherever there's covenant, there's authority. And every believer has authority. You have what you need to stop Satan. Don't fear him. Don't look for the Antichrist. Shut him down. Do God's work. Drive out Satan's thoughts and receive all of God's thoughts. Receive all of God's thoughts first and drive out all of Satan's thoughts as he speaks. And anything you're used to, drive it far from you and do the things of God. Do the will of God on purpose. And you won't have a problem with the Antichrist, ever. But the Lord also told me yesterday that, you know, there are many people that's rising up and learning. But the doctrines of old, the dead doctrines that many believers in Christ have preached, you know, those things have hindered the church. And it gave the enemy, it allowed the enemy to fortify himself in many kinds of ways. They are building underground high-speed trains under America, under other countries. They're trying to form a secret one-world government. It's on our money. It's a plan of old. It's a demonic plan. And the Lord told us what would happen. That the Antichrist would take over 10 nations. He showed us this in plain sight. But it's our job to shut it down. It don't have to happen. But that's what's going to happen. Because people fall away from doing the works of God. And the counter to that is to preach the gospel, get people saved, teach them about who they are in Christ, and teach them how to live according to the covenant and according to operate with the authority that God has given us. Now Jesus said in many ways, He said, "I've given you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy," in Luke chapter 10:19. And He said, before He ascended in Mark, He said, "He that believe, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, they won't die." He showed us we have authority over Satan and all of his works. Luke 10:19 is the most plain. He gave us power over all the power of the enemy, including the Antichrist. Satan can't come to a hot church and start trouble. The church can shut Satan down and he'll look like a fool. He don't want to look like a fool before the universe. Because whatever we do, stand or fall, we do it publicly in front of the God's creation. Not just people on earth, but people out in creation. People everywhere, everything we do is recorded. So we need to understand. We have a fight. Jesus said, "When I return, will I find faith on the earth?" And I say, yeah, if I'm here, He's going to find faith because He's going to find it in me. I'm not going to, you know, one Christian can do what Jesus did. When Jesus was on the cross, he said he could ask his Father. Well, you know, he told his disciples that in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he could command the angels and he'll have legions of armies, angels, and they'll do what he say. As he is, so are we in this world. He gave us his authority. When I had my business, I would make almost enough money. You know, I experienced the fact that a man can't live beyond his vision. I lived to the limit of my vision. And but I'm not ashamed of it, because as we grow, what stage are you in? We deal with what God works with us according to what we have, what we've given him to work with. He's done a lot in my life, many miracles. But this was a situation that I still had a problem with. I didn't know how to prosper. I asked him how to do other things. I had to learn how to kill this problem as well. So he said every day before my feet hit the ground to command my angels to bring me cash. I started doing that and I started making more money. And I started having more business that I could finish. And so he also said, don't ever worry about money in my presence. So that meant don't ever worry about money, because I live in his presence. I prayed to live in his presence long ago. And those things gave me clues. Sometimes we have to have clues. I'm not ashamed of my lack of understanding or anything like that. God was patient with me. He helped me understand what I needed to change. A lot of people are putting a mask over their failures. And you're not getting anywhere doing that. You have to involve God, and he can show you how to clear things up. We are designed by God to prosper. I have people, friends that, and one of them I know don't even read the Bible. He'll go to church, but he won't read the Bible. He goes to a Catholic church. But he don't have a problem prospering because he believes he can. And here I am in the Word struggling to believe I can. See, sometimes people, they get things right. There are millionaires that just, they're not even saved. And they get things right. And they walk in, and it works. They use godly principle, they just don't know it. Prosperity is just like Pastor Jim the Fourth was talking, my pastor was talking about Sunday. When Joseph went to Egypt, He was already a prospered man. He was already blessed. He was in Egypt as a slave, and everything he did worked, and it worked out well. Everything he did worked. Potiphar, his master in Egypt, he was sold to Potiphar. His whole house was blessed because of Joseph. When they put him in jail, he was resourceful. He did good works in jail. And when he became the king of Egypt, not the king of Egypt, but when he became, when Pharaoh made him second in command, he blessed many nations with his wisdom because he was a blessed man. We are also. We just have to believe it. You're not limited to Satan. Your limitations is out of your own mind. God can take your life and do great things with it. You have to yield to, you have to pay attention to the Lord. You have to receive revelation. Now, I'm going to give you a mechanics analogy, because 2 weeks ago the Lord gave me this analogy. Sometimes when God gives people revelation, what I mean by revelation, I'm not talking about the book of Revelation, though it is a revelation. I'm talking about when God tells you something personally, and you come to a point of understanding his knowledge. It's a revelation to you. But this is what he said. As a mechanic, when I build an engine and I'm putting the head on top of the engine, and I put rods in and main bearings, many may not know what that is. That's the heart of the engine, where the crankshaft is. I have to torque every bolt to a certain specification, and we use what we call a torque wrench. Now, the torque wrench It's really not a wrench. You put sockets on it. It's a socket wrench. And it measures the tightness of the bolt. And you set it. And we start with about 20 to 25 pounds. And we torque the bolts. And then we go another pass. And rod bolts usually be around 40 to 50 pounds, you know. And then we torque them all according to the sequence. And then sometimes, you know, new engines, they have them where they're torqued to yield. You may torque it at a lower setting, like 35. And then you may turn it 90 degrees. All right. And you have to do each one according to the specifications. The manufacturer, you can buy the, you can get the information from the factory how much that bolt's supposed to torque to. Nevertheless, every bolt must be at its proper tension for it to operate. And when you do the head, it's the same way. You do the head is flat, and in order to torque it down even, because you're doing one bolt at a time, they have a pattern that'll help you torque it down even so that it won't warp and it'll hold hundreds of pounds of pressure for years, and it'll never go bad if you do it right. When we receive revelation from the Lord, we have to get a hold to it. It's just like tightening those bolts to the proper tension, not too tight, not too loose. We're supposed to receive the revelation and embrace it, let it be a part of us. Just like we make sure that every bolt in that engine is torqued. And when everything is correct, now it will last over 300,000 miles without a problem. As long as everything is in place, it will last. When you receive the revelation of God as a way of life and you apply it in your life, it will be a part of you forever. But if you leave some bolts loose, you're going to have problems with that engine. If you don't receive the revelation and clamp down on it and let it be part of your life as a way of life, the enemy is going to win a victory over you. It don't get any simpler than that. When you receive the revelation in your training phase, God is preparing you to win. Now, God can give us knowledge that he's not limited to how fast he can give us knowledge. But these are also things that must be in place. You got to understand, when God gives you something, it's a gift. You're no better than anybody else. And you better make sure you don't snub God's people. Walk in his kind of love. One of the first things, before God gave me the anointing or anything, he had me to, when he first called me to the priest, he did anoint me first. But he didn't teach me much until I asked him to teach me how to love his people. When you learn how to love his people, you become foundational and God can pour a greater measure of anointing on you. And after he anoints you, as you walk in his love on purpose, doing the things of God, he will pour more anointing on you. The anointing is without limit. And he'll multiply it in your life and add it to your life as you're able to carry it without getting in pride. But don't fear getting in pride. You have to make sure you reject every form of pride, lust, greed, things that people fall over. And you have to let the word of God richly form in your good heart. Don't let your heart be full of weeds. Don't be distracted by the world. Don't worry about things. Don't lust after things. Let the roots of God's word grow deep. Just like we clamp those bolts to the proper tension, let the roots of God's word grow deep in your heart. So when you speak the word of God, you're speaking it in pure faith. And Satan can't stop that. Daniel said, they that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. But the wicked will do wickedly. In fact, the wicked are guaranteed to do wicked, and they are guaranteed to not understand. There are people doing evil in every government. Hopefully not, but in 10 nations or 10 regions, they're preparing to take over the whole world. That's what's on their mind. They call it the New World Order, but don't be afraid of it. And in the writings of John, it says the question was asked, who will be able to fight against the beast? The beast is all of it. The Antichrist, the armies of the 10 nations, the witches, demon-possessed people, and then the monsters that will appear. You know, the locust that Jesus talked about. Everybody that take the mark, they're going to torment them in public. See, this world is, you're about to witness a storm on a greater measure. People say, well, maybe those are metaphors. Tell that to the people that's being stung by. When you see things you never seen before. When you see flying saucers and crazy things that you're not used to. Jesus said, men's hearts will fear over what comes upon the earth, what crawls out of caves. You know, I listened to Steve Quayle, and he has interviewed people that know about the return of giants. They killed one in Kandahar, and they killed another one somewhere else. And it was about 13 feet tall, 1,000 pounds, maybe 1,100 pounds. They said that thing was fast. It killed a whole platoon of soldiers. And it's on YouTube. You can listen to Timothy Alberino and Steve Quayle. They talk about this. Well, most people wouldn't believe that. That's not something that they've seen, and the government kept quiet. Well, he also interviewed government officials that came clean, that became Christians, and they tell of things that's going on underground in Antarctica. Somebody would say, well, Apostle, you really believe that? You take that serious? Yes, I do. Why? Because I've seen demons myself. I woke up one night and they came in the room. The enemy gave me a dream, woke me up. And it was a dream to put me in fear. But I wasn't afraid. I woke up fighting. And I saw spirits in my room. I saw them. Well, I do what I always do. I rebuke them. And they didn't move yet. And I started interceding for preachers I know. I started with Steve Quayle. And I started interceding, praying for all the well-known preachers I know. And they got their behind out of my room. Now, this has happened many times over the years. It didn't just start now. A long time ago that happened to me. And I tell you about this one. One time I was sleeping. There was a Jehovah Witness boy trying to convince me to be a Jehovah Witness. And it was just a dream of unrest. I said, that won't work. I woke up talking to him. And then I saw the spirit behind lying religions. And it had about 9 heads on it, and all of them were ugly. And those heads represent the type of lies it would tell, whether it was Mormonism or Jehovah Witness or false religion, Muslim, whatever it was. It had 9 heads on it, and they were ugly. I said, get out of my room in Jesus' name. It was just standing there staring at me, and it was ugly. And when I said, get out of my room in Jesus' name, it didn't move. It stayed there looking. And I started talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, that's one ugly demon. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, I was looking how ugly he is. And the Lord he used the situation to teach me something. He said the countenance on his face, that's the essence of who he is in his heart. And I learned this. Whatever's in your heart will get in your countenance. and it disappeared out of my sight. I know how the enemy works. When the Lord called me to the ministry, I began to be challenged unusually. Anger. A man picked a fight with me. And I talk about all that all the time. That's how I learned to love people. And he was just trying to test me. I understand that. But things like that didn't happen until I got called to the ministry. It happened on a milder basis when I got saved. Women would go out of their way to flirt and make themselves available and try to tempt me. I talk about that all the time, so let's move along. God showed me what to do in every situation. I never fell for this junk that the enemy was trying to do. And I also understood that if I did, he was going to kill me. And the Lord taught me many things that was going on, many doctrines that people had accepted as not right. He wanted me to understand the condition of the church. He called me to be an apostle. A lot of unusual things happen. When you have a word from God, there's warfare. I had to learn to fight. If I was going to preach somewhere, people would waste time and it'll take away the time I needed to minister. I had to fight for time. Not people, but spirits. That was behind everything. So I felt the brunt of warfare. It's like I was on the front line, but I really wasn't. The front line is people that's getting their head chopped off. But I felt the brunt of satanic warfare as I began to preach and teach God's word, because I did it according to God's heart. I only spoke what God spoke to me to speak. And it would have helped people wake up. Satan didn't want that. Were you bragging on yourself? No, I'm bragging on the Holy Spirit, because I can't preach without it. It wasn't against me personally as much as it was against the Holy Spirit. See, if the Father sends Jesus, and then Jesus sends you, and you give a word, and people have a problem with that word. They have a problem with the word, not because of you, because of the word. They may focus their doubts on you, but it's really against the one who sent you. So when you preach the word of God in pure faith, and people have a problem with it, they got the same problem with God who sent the message in the first place. Every time. Now, when preachers that are well known say something, people, they're respected and well known, so people just don't say much. If they don't agree with it, they don't say anything. But if it's unknown, they feel they show their heart. I had to learn that. It don't matter who the messenger is. If God sent a message and people have a problem with it, they got that same problem with God himself. If you have to understand protocol. Jesus pointed this out in Luke chapter 10 when he gave us the best message about authority. So that showed me the gauge. When God gives you something to do, and you do it, the response is what God, that's what he taught me by. And he gave me a word, but it was interesting. He said, now, if the pastor asks you to speak it. But if he don't ask you to speak it, don't speak it. Right before I should have been speaking that word, the pastor looked at me, and then he looked away. And he called on another lady to speak the word, Sister Van. She spoke what God gave me. What God gave me was more. But she spoke word for word what God gave me. And it showed me that pastor rejected me because he knew that I would speak God's word. And in those days, I had to struggle not to be offended. But I was disappointed because I knew what the word was, and I knew that the church needed, he had a strong church, and it would have been a blessing. But now, I just couldn't, you know, the Lord let me walk right into it. I didn't know that pastors would do something like that. I had to get things cleared up in my mind. And the Lord helped me with it, of course. But he let me walk right into things that was going on that shouldn't have been going on. Now, God don't give up on his people, but he don't make them do what they're supposed to do. If you don't want to follow God, he will not make you follow him. He'll find somebody that will. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't trust anybody else to follow God for you. And whoever follow God, that's a bonus, but make sure you follow him. You're on this earth. You're part of it. You're part of the body of Christ. You have kingdom rights and authority here. Learn to use it. Learn to shut Satan down. I don't know another way to put it. You can't count on other people because they might do whatever. God forbid. Hopefully they'll follow God, but sometimes people don't. Sometimes people follow God now and they change their ways. Sometimes people are not doing their best and then they start, who knows what they'll do. I thank God for everybody that will obey him because that's where we're powerful. We're not powerful trying to get God to bless our agenda. That's weakness. That's permissive will. That's nothing. The permissive will is much worse than the perfect will of God. You may have a comfortable life, but when you go to heaven and see what could have been done, then you're going to be saying, Lord, let me go back. Let me go back. There's so many people want to come back. No, they're not coming. They waste the time on earth. It's over with. They'll be rewarded where they can be, if they can be. And hopefully they're up there. But they're not coming back. I know the Lord take people in a vision and send them back to give us a boost. Sometimes we need a vitamin B shot. But if you're in God's presence, you get the same vitamin B shot. You don't have to be taken to heaven all the time. But God wants to introduce greater things through people who love him. The prayer room is your friend. Wherever you pray, pray. Whether it's driving a car or in a prayer room in your house or at church, pray and go in God's presence. And live in obedience. Get a good hold on the revelations that he give you and share it with the right people at the right time, not with everybody. Because the enemy has a lot of place in the average person. People that's not growing, they watch TV more than they awake. They watch TV, read novels, watch the news, and then give advice. Really? No praying, no studying, and they know something? They're being seduced. They just don't know it. And they probably can't tell, they think they're right. And theologians, you know, if you see things in that court with the glasses of cold religion on your face, you ain't no good. Cold religion is death. Too many people are preaching death and limitations, and people read limitations into the word. And they don't believe anything that Jesus said they could do. The church is not only supposed to be healing the sick and raising the dead. Somebody ought to be walking on water by now. I know that's a stretch, but Jesus did it to show us that we are without limits. Walking on water is not necessary for the things of God, but the magnitude of faith that it takes to do that should be done in other realms of our lives. We need to be receiving knowledge, writing books, and we should have put Hollywood out of business a long time ago. We're not with protests and shutting them down. We should have been making better movies as the church. Anointed people should have been writing novels and books and making movies. Anointed people should have been writing anointed songs, breaking through the limitations of the music world. Get a whole new system going. and put the old one out of business. Motown should have been put out of business a long time ago. They used to promote decent songs then. You know, not just Motown, but all the music industry itself should have been slapped, put out of business by the people of God. But what did they do? Nothing. Very few people wrote anointed songs. They broke through and wrote something. They didn't know how to market. But God would have raised people up to do that if people would spend more time in the prayer room. If you go before the Lord and receive his word and do exactly what he say, he'll be able to trust you with greater things. He didn't have anybody he could trust to do that with, so it didn't happen. Because the people that was in place to teach him those things, they failed. And it's a shame. I'm ashamed of it. But we can do what God gave us to do. If God gave it to me to do, I'd have found a way to do it in him. It may not be too late, but I believe it is. The Lord's about to imminently return. The things that he gave me to do, I did. I can't do everything. But we can do what God give us to do. That's the least we could do. And he'll raise up people, hopefully. Through these broadcasts, people will be raised up to do things that's much greater. It's a shame to go through this life with the power of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit and do nothing. That don't make sense to me. It never will and it never did. Once I learned who the Holy Spirit was. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.